Well, once again, a blessed and joyous Christmas to each and every one of you this morning. And it is indeed a joyous season to celebrate because of the greatest gift that we all have received, namely our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, on this Christmas morning, I want to tell you about the miracles of Christmas. That's right, miracles, plural. Actually, there's two of them. There are two great miracles on Christmas that is proclaimed in John's Gospel this morning. The one is that the Son of God became human. And the other is that because he did become human, we, human, became or becomes the children of God. Those are the two miracles of Christmas that I want to talk about this morning. The first, the Son of God became human, became a man. I don't know if you've ever taken a time to really ponder the mystery of this truth. There is nothing I could think of that is more marvelous, more wonderful than this. There's no good news that I could think of that's more significant than the fact that God saw it fit in his infinite wisdom to send his Son to be human, to be like you and me. I know of no other religion on earth today that professes that other than our Christianity. That a God willingly chose to be human. The eternal Son of God took on human flesh. That he was born and became man, became our brother, became our Savior. Absolutely amazing. It is absolutely awesome. You know, John's Gospel introduces this miracle with the words that kind of hopefully brings us back from to the very beginning. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." In the beginning. You know, somebody said, well, you know, did you know that baseball is mentioned in the Bible? In the big inning? It's not that beginning. It's the beginning that is recorded for us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, this verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis is the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What John was saying is that it is the one that he calls the Word that existed even before the world was created, even before the world began. The Word that John uses, the Word existed with God from the very beginning, even before the universe was created. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the mystery about the interrelationship between what we call the Holy Trinity. The Word, the second person of the Trinity, the Word was God. And yet, at the same time, this is the one called the Word was God. That is, he is divine. He's true God. He is the very nature of God, the creator of the universe. See, the Greek word that John uses here is the word logos. Yeah, the Greek philosophers had this great and brilliant idea, and they believed and they thought that logos was the unifying principle holding the universe together. That's what the Greek philosophers in John's days thought. That the logos was this concept, this idea, this thought that there is something that holds the universe together. And this is the idea that John used, took, and adopted into the Christian ways. He takes a term and transforms it into and tells us that the logos, the word, holds the universe together, but is not a thought. It's not just an ideal. It's not just a principle. It's an actual person, namely Jesus the Christ, a child who was born in Bethlehem. And then John goes on to say that all things were made through him, and without him, not one thing was made. In him, therefore, was life. Life as we know it, life as we will come to know in the life to come. All came from, all comes from the Word, the Logos. And it is that life. That life was the light of mankind. Here's the miracle of Christmas, as John puts it. The Word became flesh and dwelt or lived among us. That's the miracle number one of Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt or lived among us. Think of that. Take a moment to think, what does that mean that the Word, that the Son of God became flesh and chose to live among us humans? I don't know about you, but I have hard time at times to wrap my mind around that. The eternal Son of God, by whom all things were made, he became incarnate, he came in the flesh as a little baby, as an infant, just like all of us came into the world. It sometimes boggles the mind. Martin Luther took time to ponder this amazing mystery, and he wrote in one of his hymns, "Now in the manger we may see God's Son from eternity, the gift from God's eternal throne, here clothed in our poor flesh and bone." Why? Why did God's own Son come into our world? Come in our flesh. Why? Why did he do this? Well, because it was God's will. It was the Father's will, namely so that his creation would be redeemed, that his creation would be restored, and namely that we, you and I, will receive salvation. See, we need to be saved from our sins. We know this. The book of Genesis also tells us how humanity had fallen from the state that we were created to being into, fell into sin through Adam and Eve. And God simply would not let humanity or his creation go to waste. God's judgment against sin, of course, we know is death. The wages of sin is death. And that would have been us. That would have been his creation. lost forever. Every one of us would have to have gone through death, permanent, last, everlasting death. But God chose not to let us go. God, in his great love for us, had a plan, an eternal plan, to save us, to rescue us from that fate of being banished into the outer darkness, damned and doomed for eternity. His plan was to send his own son into our flesh to fulfill the law that he had, that we had broken. Christ would keep the commandments of God, and he would keep it perfectly on our behalf. And then, although sinless himself, he would shoulder the burden of our sin and take it to the cross as our substitute. And because he is the very Son of God, his innocent shed blood is mighty enough to cover the sins of the whole world, including yours and mine. So, because of what he did, you are forgiven. Now, you are forgiven for Christ's sake. This is the only way that you and I can be free from the guilt of being sinners. This is the only way for you and I to overcome the grave. This is the only way that you and I can be freed from the influence and the shackles of the evil one. And that is by the incarnation, by the enfleshment of the Son of God. That is what God has done through Christ Jesus. In him is life, John tells us. And his life, his new life, his resurrection life, eternal life, is the light that is shining in and for us today. This then leads to the second miracle of Christmas. The first was that the Son of Man, or the Son of God, became man. The second Christmas miracle is that we, because of what Jesus has done, because of what the Son of God has done to become human, we become the children of God. That's the second miracle of Christmas. John tells us about this. He says, but to all who did receive him, that is, those who received Christ by faith, to all who have received him, he gives the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, Christmas is not about, it's not only about the Son of God being born as a man, it is also about the sons and daughters of mankind being born as the children of God. For all intents and purposes, Christmas is then a twofer. Two great miracles for the price of one. Not like the twofer that your dentist offers you. Two root canals for the price of one, whether you need it or not. That's a great bargain, by the way. No, Christmas is a twofer. Not only is the Son of God become human, but we human become children of God. And the beautiful thing about it is that the price for this twofer deal is free. It's free. It is all by God's grace. His free gift in Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas by giving gifts, hopefully free gifts to one to another, by exchanging that gift to remind us that what God has done for us, God has done out of his graciousness, free. Not only was Christ born and lived and died and rose again as your Savior, now the second miracle is that God gives you the faith to believe in him, to trust in him for your salvation. Through faith in Christ, you and I become God's beloved and cherished children. We have been born again, born from above, born of water and the Spirit in holy baptism. In those waters of baptism, God has made us his children. God has welcomed us and has joined us with Jesus. Now we are the children of God. Now we get to call on God in prayer, in worship, knowing that our Heavenly Father cares for us in every way according to our every need. Now we are part of God's family around the globe, over 3 billion followers and believers in this babe of Bethlehem. And what's more, what is to come for us? What is to come for us as children of God is the great inheritance we will receive when Christ our Savior returns. That inheritance is everlasting life in a resurrected and glorious body. Those of you who have been in my Sunday school class or Bible study know how much I look forward to that day, because I get to look a whole lot better than this. I'm grateful for what God has given me in what I am now, but I can't wait for what better gift awaits for me in that new life, in that everlasting life. That inheritance is everlasting. That inheritance is life in eternity, resurrected and glorified body, in a renewed and restored creation, alive to God. No more sin, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, all in fellowship with the saints of all times and places, united in praise, united in worship around the throne of God and around the Lamb of God. What a Christmas present that will be. What a Christmas joy that will be. Dear friends, on this Christmas day, we rejoice in 2 great Christmas miracles indeed. One is that the eternal Son of God took on human flesh and became man. Became a man, just like you and I, precisely to be our Savior. And the second miracle is that because God chose to do so, because he became human like you and I, through faith in him, now we become the children of God. In a couple of weeks or so, we'll begin a brand new year, a new calendar year. It is a good time, even now, to think about, to ponder, what are you going to do as the beloved child of God? What does that mean for you to be a child of God? Praise be to God for these miracles of Christmas. And may the Holy Spirit sustain us, empower us to live truly as children of God, as miracles of Christmas. Amen.